Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good. The bad and the dumb, the Tuesday edition, which is a lot like every other edition, but it doesn't matter. It's the good of the day.
Yes, and I don't know if this is shameless pandering to a certain TV show or character, but I'm going to keep on the bandwagon maybe until I get my swag gift.
All right.
Ted Lasso.
Of course.
I love me some Ted Lasso. So anytime I get a little nugget, I'm going to talk about it. Sorry, kids. But anyways, this week's edition of Ted Lasso lore is the story of how Jason Sudeikis created his character.
Okay.
Of the coaches he based it off of. And I thought it was interesting because he based it off of John Wooden, Roy Williams, Bill Self, Pete Carroll, Steve Kerr, and
your... Slow down. Because I really want to process all this.
All right.
John Wooden.
Like, who wouldn't base their character off of John Wooden?
All right.
Roy Williams.
Sure.
Because he's a Kansas guy. Bill Self, for obvious reasons. Pete Carroll,
okay.
Steve Kerr.
Yeah, all right.
Jurgen Klopp.
I don't know who that is, but no, I'm sure that's awesome.
Yeah, he's a really good. He's a player's coach, coaching soccer.
Okay.
He coached for Liverpool, coached in Germany for a while. And then another guy's name that just kept popping up, Donnie Campbell.
Who's Donnie Campbell?
Donnie Campbell was his high school coach.
Awesome. How wonderful is that?
And he, you know, a big mentor to him, but it was also the way Donnie Campbell used to talk kind of gave Jason Sudeikis the idea of some of those really weird sayings that we just fall in love with.
I question Steve Kerr.
Yeah, of course.
Because Steve Lasso doesn't speak on every social issue in America and constantly. Ted Lasso doesn't speak about every constant social issue in the country like Steve Kerr tends to do.
Yeah.
Like he seems to stay away from politics.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not going to take anything away from Steve Kerr being a good coach, but he does.
I'm sure
he's
awesome.
He does have really good players.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, does Ted Lasso have a back injury like Steve Kerr that had
right?
to overcome? Remember Steve Kerr? I mean, Steve Kerr had a debilitating back injury. He overcame that to stay on the sidelines. So, well, all right, that's good. I like that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. But
the only problem I have with that is when you throw too many names out, it dilutes the inspiration.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I mean, you know, you can
like
kind of get.
I think
all coaches, it doesn't matter what sport you're in, are going to model something after John Wooden.
Right.
Yeah, like, the pyramid of success.
Seriously, though, imagine if like Trevor Lawrence became a successful quarterback. And then he says, well, I modeled my game after Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, John Elway, Dan Marino, Fran Tarkington. Like, you just
Joe
listed
Montana.
Everybody. Like, you just listed everybody. And then you just went,
and then
well, who
it.
Exactly is your inspiration? Did you just list every good quarterback that you've ever watched on TV?
But then, you know, like in true Ted Lasso fashion or Jason Sudeikis fashion, go, and Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Right, of course.
You know,
of course.
You're like, all right, I understand all the other guys. What's Fitzpatrick doing?
That's pretty awesome. Well,
but it's, you know, yeah, kind of fun that Donnie Campbell, who, by the way, I had to say this because I was talking about how he kind of grabbed some of the quotes he used to say. Tell me that, I mean, I hope we see this in a future Ted Lasso, or maybe we did. I just missed it. But I guess he can recall his former coach saying, you guys look more nervous than a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
Nice. We've all had that one good coach, right?
Don't, oh, yeah.
We should, at least.
Yeah. I have, you know, I can name off two.
My golf coach just passed away not that long ago. That was kind of sad. It's kind of weird. My teachers are all dying.
Yeah.
Like, from high school.
Yeah, I guess it's that time, huh?
Yeah, they're all dying.
I mean, I don't want to say it's a, you know, it is funny to think because, you know, you have some older teachers that you probably haven't thought about in a long time, and they're probably dead.
Yeah, all right. It's been
I guarantee you, like,
since,
there's, like, a couple that I know that have to be dead by now. If not, they're, you know, competing for a centurion of the year or whatever.
Yeah, right. All right, what's the bad of the day?
The bad of the day, and, you know, I have a feeling that this might be the first of many stories to come. Okay.
All right.
A cheerleader mom was arrested for using deepfakes to make it look like her daughter's rivals were naked, drinking, and smoking so they'd get kicked off the team.
This story is very interesting to me because this is the one thing I've always, like, I think our older generation is wary of this kind of technology because we've been kind of processed through the science fiction world a little more to know that this doesn't end well. Whereas a younger generation thinks everything that's new is awesome and great. But I think there is a generation like us who go, no, I've seen this in a book or a movie, or Hollywood has done something with this technology where the results were disastrous.
Yeah, it never comes back. Right. It never works out in your favor.
Yeah, like it's like when you see movies like with like people who can change their appearances, right? Like aliens who can change their appearances.
Right.
They're always bad people, right? They're always like your boss and your police officer. Like they're always somebody you trust, and then they're trying to kill you.
Or like we have discussed many, many times on this program, the more artificial intelligence you create is going to lead to Skynet.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a proven fact.
Do you remember that movie? Well, of course you do. The Age of Ultron, Avengers movie. Ultron is the bad robot, but he doesn't start out that way. He just looks at human history. He goes through that process where he has all these pictures. So his job is to bring world peace, right? So they create him to bring world peace. And he goes through the history of everything, and he realizes the one element that doesn't do this well is humans. So they got to go.
Yep.
It's a guts to go thing. We got to get rid of them. Because in his brain, the only thing humans have done is fight constantly, forever,
cause mass extinction. I mean, you got peaceful animals, sure. I mean, animals will kill one another, but that's part of the circle of life, which we've learned over years.
So you and I are programmed, if you will, to believe that this kind of stuff is dangerous, yet there is a generation that goes, oh, I can use this to get my daughter's rivals out of a competition or make it easier for my daughter to, you know, all of those things. And then how do you fight that when you have a desktop or a laptop at home and no money for advanced computer scientists?
Yeah.
Like, how do you fight that?
So, I mean, if for all of you listening out there who think, you know what? I mean, yeah, that mom might have been onto something. Let me create some deep fake photos and videos. So, because, I mean, basically the only reason why she did is because there was three cheerleaders who were her daughter's rivals. And they all four of them used to be friends, but they'd kind of fallen out of favor with her. So the mom decided to get them back.
Oh, God,
okay. But here's the warning that I need to let everyone know that, you know, where you and I are smart enough to realize that this won't end well, and she obviously wasn't, and she's older than us, so I don't know how it came about. She created the deepfake photos by mapping out the victims. She then sent them the text messages all throughout. The detectives, here's where it gets fun. Detectives traced four phone numbers that had sent the deepfake images and tied them to a telemarketing website. Then they trace data from that website to an IP address at Spohn's house.
They'll always find you.
Yep.
Like, there's no hiding it. There's no hiding this. Most 99.99999% of the people don't even know how to hide this, how to hide their tracks. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's not worth it.
Yeah. It's not worth it. All right. What's the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day, I know we're going to get into this in a little bit, two segments from now, but I was going to highlight, you know, Drew Brees retiring.
Oh, yeah, we are going to get into this.
We are going to get into Drew Brees retiring, and we're going to look at the positive, but here's a dumb that I felt it was dumb. You know, obviously we're going to see a lot of tribute videos, but one tribute video kind of stands out amongst the rest, and it's making their fans not that happy. Here's what the Atlanta Falcons put together in their tribute video to Drew Brees.
All right. We're hearing audio, or is there going to be
audio? Yeah, no, it's audio. Okay.
You strengthened us because you tortured us. You brought out the worst and the best of us. You became one more rep, one more sprint we didn't know we had in us. A test of our will, a reason to strain, our first circle on the schedule, a countdown on the calendar.
Brees wants to take the shot, and
No defeats more bitter. No victory sweeter. A worthy adversary. A sharpening stone. And the nemesis we deserved. We thank you, Drew. But we won't miss you.
Now, I'm all for tribute videos, and I think they're fun, but I can't remember a rival team doing this.
First of all, am I missing something? It just, they keep telling me the Falcons and the Saints are bitter rivals, and yet I never feel that way when they play.
I guess maybe because they're in the same division.
Okay. Oakland, Denver. No matter where you live, they promote that as this bitter AFC East rival, right? Steelers, Browns,
yeah.
Steelers, Ravens, Patriots, whoever, right?
The world.
Right, the world, right? Anybody, any random two-team combination from the NFC East.
I'll go Raiders, Chargers.
Raiders, Chargers.
We're going to share a building.
Whenever the Falcons play the Saints, the two times they play, do they hype that up as a rivalry you can't miss?
I guess
an NFL rivalry that stands the test of time.
Maybe in
because I never
worlds?
Feel that way.
Maybe in the
world,
South,
that's fine. I live around Atlanta.
I know you do.
I'm not far from Atlanta. I never hear my friends who are Falcons fans go, "Man, it's Saints week. Saints week. I can't wait. Can't wait." I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a thing. I don't know. But
maybe this is a way to try to create a thing.
I don't know. That I get it. They're glad Breeze is gone.
Yeah. Who isn't?
Right? They're glad they don't have to deal with Breeze twice a year.
But I think they lost to Taysom Hill, though, this past season.
Yeah.
Or Jameis Winston.
Well, how did Winston do against the Falcons in his illustrious Tampa Bay career?
Yeah. Well,
what if he's a problem for them now?
I know he threw a pick.
Yeah, I'm sure he did.
That's a safe bet.
More
safe
than one.
But I just don't get. I can't see. You know, we have this. I remember when Derek Jeter retired, and Mariano Rivera retired, and the Red Sox honored him.
Yeah.
And showed him gifts, but that was I can't see them going out of their way.
I don't know. I mean, Red Sox fans said the same thing. Like, I'm glad we don't have to face Jeter anymore. But also, I don't know. I mean, it seems like it's fun. It's a fun thing. I don't know. I mean, it depends on how you take it.
Yeah. I just know a lot of Falcon fans are a little perturbed.
They're bothered by this?
Yes.
That they said we won't miss you?
No, they're fine with that. But the fact that the Falcons decided to get the brass team together and create an elaborate video.
They should be quiet. You got to say goodbye to one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. Let's say goodbye to him. Yeah. You know, listen, he uplifted a city. The city was underwater. He came in. He helped the city recover. I mean, part of the recovery was the emotional attachment to the local sports team, the local football team that had been part of most people's lives in the city of New Orleans.
Yeah.
And he helped not only bring it back to prominence, he brought it to prominence, and then won a Super Bowl. So, you know, he's going to be forever, ever embraced by that city forever and a day. But that's the way it's going to be. And he'll probably stay in New Orleans, just like Archie Manning did.
Yeah.
He'll probably stay in the city. Probably.
Then, he has what? He has three boys.
Yeah.
Just saying, three boys, in New Orleans. We saw that happen once.
Right. All right. That's the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue along. Sports Map Radio. We'll talk more. Talks about the NCAA tournament next. A couple of more news and notes from everybody getting to Indiana for the start of that on Thursday as we continue with Wake Up Call.